Well, good morning.
Glad y'all could see me this morning. Everybody have a good Christmas? I'll put that right there and make you wonder about that for a second. Well, hopefully you had an enjoyable time with family or friends or whatever your situation may be. Our Christmas admittedly looked a little different this year. Many of you may know my wife had some surgery back on December 9th and is still in the hospital. So thank you for praying. There was good progress this morning. The first time a doctor has looked at her and said, hey, you might go home Tuesday. So lots of good progress. Yes. Please keep praying for her healing. Pray for my kiddos as they're keeping everything straight at the house. And underneath your breath, pray for me this morning. So, before we go any further, let me just point out we have some guests this morning. The Freemans are here visiting us. They're our covenant partners. Formerly, or maybe still of Florida, but not quite, because they are actually moving to San Antonio, or that part of the world, to take on a different position with Crew. And so we look forward to you guys being a little closer and having more permanent access to Whataburger. So this is the important stuff. It's what you got to do. So I thought I would give you one last gift this morning. You know, I was searching for ideas for gifts. I even spent some time looking for Advent calendars, but they're hard to come by because their days are numbered. Yes. But I got you a gift. I hope you don't mind if I open it for you, but I got you a gift this morning, and it's the gift of rest. This is what I want you to have today. And so I want to talk about rest. You know, it's all too often in this season, we follow the song, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. You know how that carol goes. And so that's what we do. We decorate and we plan and there's events and there's things and we go and we run and we do and we are just so busy. I almost brought my, the church staff, we have calendars. I almost brought my calendar up to show you. You almost can't see the dates on it because there's just so much going on. And maybe that's what your season has been like. I don't know. Maybe some of you, the first cold snap we got, you were putting up Christmas stuff and listening to Christmas music and those kind of things. Maybe some of you are not quite like that and you wait till the last possible minute to really get in the Christmas spirit. But at some point, we all get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of what's going on. And most of it is fun and festive, but some of it is certainly exhausting nonetheless. We may at the end of the day find that our souls are both stuffed and yet feeling empty. Often it's in the midst of all this that we quietly wonder, man, isn't there something else? Isn't there more to this? And the good news is that beyond the cookie platters and the shopping lists and decorating is the Son of God made man for us. If you heard Kenny's sermon Christmas Eve, that was made very clear to you, that God put on flesh and came to be with us. You see, God knows we're prone to frenetic activity, and that's one of the reasons He wrote the commandment in Exodus 20. So if you have a Bible, turn to Exodus 20 real quick. You see, in Exodus 20, He built in a day of rest for the Israelites every 6 days that they might pause what they were doing and recognize the goodness of their God and their own desperate need for Him and His gift of stillness. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, in practicing rest, like this and taking time to be still and taking time to rest, we acknowledge God's trustworthiness. Even when we cease working, God continues to hold our world together. This year, I know that we're the day after Christmas, but I want to invite you, just as our Lord and Savior invited His disciples, to maybe get away with Him for a little bit and find some rest, to slow down and rediscover the wonder and the joy of this season. It's not too late. But what might that look like? Well, rest isn't just a word. Rest is R-E-S-T. So R, remember God's goodness. When we rest, we remember God's goodness. You see, we all suffer sometimes from soul amnesia, that is, forgetting who God is and what He has done for us from one day to the next. And just like you, I too must remind myself each year who Jesus is and why His birth is so miraculous. Not because my mind doesn't know, because my heart ceases to be amazed sometimes because I'm just caught up in the whirlwind of everything going on. You know, the old saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt, and sadly our own hearts lose that sense of wonder sometimes because we know it so well, we kind of gloss over it. This is part of the reason that the Israelites were instructed to remember God's miraculous works on a regular basis so that they and their children would not forget, but also so that God's closeness and power would remain fresh on their minds. Flip over a few pages to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Listen to these words from verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You see, as you ramped up and anticipated this Christmas season, and now here even the day after, things are still kind of moving about, it's easy to get caught up in our own little winter wonderland and forget how good God has been to us. So as I ask you to rest, I ask you to remember God's goodness, to be intentional about remembering God's goodness in your life, both who He is and what He has done in your life. A beautiful way to do that is to meditate on some of the names that you might know of Jesus a little bit more this Christmas season. You know, if you take something like a diamond that's kind of rough and then you intentionally cut it, you have these facets on it, and every time you turn it and look at it, you see a new spark, a new glitter, a new reflection, if you will. And so as you rest, I want you to think of God in that same way, that you hold that which is treasure, and every time you look at it, you see a new part of the treasure. Maybe you need to remember that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, the Creator who possessed all glory and all power and authority and yet chose to enter our world as a little child in order to dwell with His beloved and restore a relationship with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe you need to remember that Jesus is the Word of God, the full revelation and intelligent communication of God, and the most direct and personal message of God that He could ever give us, available to all who seek Him. Jesus is the Word of God. Maybe during this holiday season, you need to remember that Jesus is the Holy One of God, brilliant in all majesty and commanding in authority, perfectly without sin, whose holiness does not threaten us, but gives us a reason for hope. Let me say that again. Whose holiness does not threaten us, but gives us a reason for hope. Because He alone clothes us with divine righteousness that He gives us. So when I ask you to rest, I ask you to remember God's goodness. E Express your neediness. Maybe many of you, even recently as I have, I'm guilty of this. When somebody's offered help, I've said, thanks, but I can do it. Or, no, I'm all right. Or, I got it. Maybe you've turned down an offer for help even though you really needed it. Sometimes it's hard to admit that we can't do everything ourselves. During all of our Christmas preparations and all of that, it sometimes results in exhaustion, maybe a little crankiness, maybe a little short-temperedness. But this very same self-sufficiency can become deadly in our spiritual lives. You see, we can't do our spiritual lives on our own. We need God. The truth is that we need Jesus, but we often live our lives as if we can get by on our own. It's not until we take the time to reflect on the beauty of God, His holiness, His love, and His kindness, His atoning sacrifice, that we realize just how desperately we need Him. There's a vulnerability that comes with admitting our need, but Jesus promises that those who are poor in spirit and those who are meek in heart and who thirst for righteousness will be rewarded with more of God Himself. You see, it turns out that expressing our neediness is the only way to receive the riches of Christ Jesus that God has prepared for us. Back in Psalm 103, they called God's people to worship and bow down and kneel before their Maker. The Hebrew word for worship means to fall prostrate or bow down. Physically, this means to bow your knees in acknowledgement of Jesus' lordship. Spiritually, it means that we surrender all that we are to all that He is. You see, it's kind of like a realignment. It's a chiropractic thing. Where's my chiropractor at? It's getting the perspectives and the priorities realigned so that we can spend time recognizing God's greatness. Worship moves us to a proper view of God, which moves us to confess and repent. Jesus put it another way, and you're familiar with these verses in John 15 about the vine and the branch. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He tells them, but if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Surprisingly, Jesus doesn't call us to work harder to bear more fruit. He calls us to abide in Him, to wait on Him. Those who remain connected to Him will naturally bear much fruit because His Spirit is the one who produces the fruit. When we remember God's goodness and we express our neediness to Him, we allow Jesus to bring rest and calm to us this Christmas season, to take the pressure off. You see, we don't have to do it all. We can't do it all. It's unnecessary for us to even try to do it all. Remember God's goodness and express your neediness to Him. R-E-S-S. Seek His stillness. How many of you have ever intentionally scheduled in a part of your day or a whole day or a weekend to just be still with the Lord? Anybody? 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 2022, there's your assignment. Seek His stillness. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit prompting you to take a break from maybe all the holiday preparations or activities and just sit for a while in Jesus' presence? But you brushed it off to focus on the next task on the list. I have. I've done that. I've brushed it off to focus on the next task on the list because things got to get done and I got to do it, and I'm fine, I can get it, and We often push ourselves at breakneck speed, waking early or staying up late, squeezing every hour of daylight for all it's worth, so that we are so exhausted by our hustle that we can hardly savor the beauty of the season. Sometimes this busyness is really just a guise to hide deeper hurts. If we can only keep ourselves busy, we won't have to acknowledge the crippling wound that we carry. We fear sometimes stillness, so we leave no task undone, even heeding the tyranny of the urgent threats to undo us. And if the answer is not chunking the traditions out the window and becoming a Grinch, instead it's incorporating moments of stillness into whatever busyness you have going on. Because when you do that, you're filled to be able to work from a place of wholeness and rest. See, the truth is that God's salvation comes to us when we repent and we rest. His strength when we're quiet and trusting. Psalm 46:10, you probably know this one. Cease striving and know that I am God. This Christmas season, I dare you, even though it's the day after even, I dare you to find a couple of minutes, find 30 minutes, find some time to just be still. Bring your to-do list to the Lord and lay it at His feet. Savor and think about the beauty of His presence as you reflect on the names we shared earlier, and just allow Him to be with you. Declare His lordship over your life. Express your need for Him and allow yourself to be still. Remember, He is Emmanuel, God with us. He sees, He knows, He hears. Let Him quiet you with His love. Seek His stillness. Remember God's goodness. Express your neediness. Seek His stillness. T. Trust His faithfulness. You ever had somebody look at you and go, "Do you trust me?" You either know it's fixing to be something amazing or something sketchy you probably shouldn't be involved in. In this case, it's amazing. You see, that question confronts us on a daily basis. You may not realize it, but you answer that question multiple times a day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, because to trust means to rest. To rest means to trust. That is, think about it this way. You wouldn't anchor your Christmas tree in a stand that was missing a leg because you wouldn't trust it. You wouldn't ask someone who's always late to bring hors d'oeuvres to your party because you wouldn't trust them. Whether we realize it or not, we're constantly evaluating the trustworthiness of things and people around us, and we do the same thing in our relationship with the Lord. Subtly negotiating just how much we'll entrust to Him sometimes. Maybe that trust is with your finances. Maybe that trust is in a broken relationship, hidden hurts, future dreams. We evaluate God's faithfulness in our past to determine whether or not we can trust Him in our present. And yet God is so much outside of all of that. Maybe you stuffed yourself with cookies and pies and holiday hams, but not with the trust of the Lord this year. Not with the trust of Jesus to be the bread of life that satisfies our deepest desires. Maybe you worry about a lost relationship or a family member with little trust that Jesus is the good shepherd who will bring the lost sheep home. Maybe you wallow in loneliness, feeling forgotten when you should trust Jesus to be Emmanuel, God who dwells with us even when we're feeling alone. I heard a pastor in our area say one time, "You might feel lonely, but with Jesus in your life, you're never alone." It's two different things. Maybe you hustle to create the perfect Christmas, not trusting Jesus to be the Holy One of God who makes it perfect for us. You see, each moment is a new opportunity to trust God's faithfulness in a million little ways, and it all starts with learning to rest. What if instead of rushing through all of these days just busy, 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 we started each morning with a simple practice of resting? Turn back to Psalm 62. This will be our last passage. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. What if we did what that said? We instructed our souls to find rest in Him alone, to remember His works and His goodness, to express our desperate need for Him, and to still our minds and our hearts in His presence, to declare our confidence in His trustworthiness. You see, the one that spoke the world into existence, yet came as a helpless baby, that holy, blissful, silent night can speak calm and peace into our lives. Jesus says in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world does. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." May you practice the gift of rest this year by remembering God's goodness, by expressing your neediness, by seeking His stillness, and by trusting His faithfulness. May you rest. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You and we thank You for a reminder that we need to rest. And that means that we need to remember Your goodness. We need to be open with You and express our neediness to You. Lord, we need to seek stillness with You and we need to trust You. Lord, it's so easy to get overwhelmed in the holiday season and just run right over the top of those things, and yet we would be 10 times better for it. We would be eternally better for resting. Lord, I pray for those in here this morning that need this rest, that they would find it in You. And maybe that rest comes by starting a relationship with You that they've never expressed. God, I need You. I've tried it my own way and I've messed it up and I've run my life into a pole and I need You. I need You to come in and be in charge. Maybe today is the day that somebody finds rest in You by putting their faith and trust in You, Lord. Lord, maybe today is the day that somebody finds rest in You by going, wow, I've had 87 things every day for the last 30 days and I'm burnt to a crisp. And I have to change and do something. I have to find this rest. I have to stop and I have to sit quietly with the Lord and I have to remember His goodness. Lord, we thank You so much for the gift of rest. It's in the sweet and holy name of Jesus that we pray, and everybody said, amen.